Welcome to the Africa Speaking Podcast. The podcast discusses critical issues about the African continent. It is brought to you by Taweza Communications in Nairobi.
Welcome to the first episode in our two-part series. I am your host, Maslin Nyambala. And today I am thrilled to bring to you my guest, Wanjiru Mambo, an incredible entrepreneur in the potato food chain. We'll be exploring how they are building adaptation and community resilience in the face of climate change in that particular sector. Welcome and let's grow together. Wanjiru, you could tell us a little bit more about yourself and your interests.
Yeah, thank you for having me. My name is Wanjiru Mambo. I'm an agro-processor, founder and CEO of Wedgehut Foods Limited, a potato value chain company. And simply what we do is we get potatoes from our farmers. We peel them, we cut them into different cuts, and we supply the hotels, restaurants, schools, hospitals, caterers, and for home use. Our products are French fries or the chips, Lyonnaise potato, or what people know it as bhajia. We have cubes, wedges, whole potatoes, potato with skin, depending on how restaurants or our clients prefer to serve them. My business is a post-COVID business, inspired by, you know, many businesses shutting down. Yes. But it's been a very interesting journey of just understanding how our farmers work, how our food system, our agri system works in both in Kenya and in Africa. And through the 4 to 5 years of being in the business, there have been a lot of interaction with people in the value chain, in the food system, and a lot of learnings and insights on how we can do it better. Okay. And as I always say, Africa needs to feed Africa.
Yes.
And therefore, we need to increase our output because we have the resources, the land, the people.
Yes.
Yeah, and we can do that. No African should be dying out of hunger. Yes. And we should change our livelihoods through agriculture.
Wow. You talk about a post-COVID business. Were you in another sector before joining it? Or what gave you the idea to start the business?
I've done business for over the last 10 years. Initially, yes. I was in logistics. Then I moved to hospitality. I had a restaurant.
Yes.
And when COVID struck and everyone was told to shut down and we didn't know for how long, we happened to share everything that we had in the restaurant. We were three partners.
Yes.
So a week before, a friend had brought me 4 sacks of potatoes from Nakuru.
Wow.
And I had to carry them and I started selling them in my estate. So okay. I first, you know, when everyone was panic shopping, so I did the first lot. My mom lives in Limuru, got a second, third and fourth.
Yes.
And that's where the idea struck me that what else can we do with these potatoes? And because they don't have a very long shelf life,
yes.
How can we add more value? So I went into a thorough research of consumption of value-added potatoes.
Yes.
And that's where the idea was born. Formed my company, and it was also an advantage. Most businesses in the sector had closed down.
Yes.
So it gave us also an advantage to start all over again.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you made lemonade out of your lemon situation.
Exactly.
Wow. How important is the potato value chain to Kenya?
The potato contribution to the economy is very huge.
Yes.
Annually, we are looking at generating around 50 billion.
Yes.
That translates to around $500 million.
Yeah.
And it employs over 3.5 million along the value chain.
3.5 million. Yes. Wow.
That's from the farmers.
Yes.
The transporters.
Yeah.
The people in the value chain.
Wow.
And even the from the agent, like the government bodies.
Yes.
That spearhead the potato, like National Potato Council.
Yeah.
So it's a very huge contributor to the economy.
Yeah.
And one of the things that have led to the growth of potatoes is because they say it's the second staple food in Kenya after maize.
Second, it is. Yes. I also love potatoes.
Yes. And likely to overtake maize. And some of the contributors is because it takes less time to grow potatoes. That's around a maximum of 90 days.
90 days.
So you can have 3 seasons in a year. Then there's a huge urbanization, change of lifestyle.
Yes.
I always make a joke. Most of the children, I don't think they'll resort to ugali and like the chips.
Yes.
Yeah. Then there's also a high entry of international franchises to our market.
Yes.
And we all know them, the Burger King, the KFC and all the like.
Mm.
And also the hospitality space has really, yeah, really grown.
Hotels.
Yes.
Yeah.
And common preferences because of being westernized, or, you know, our education system, that people have also specific needs regarding their food.
Okay.
And they realize potato is not the chips that you know. There are many other ways of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And those are even things that you keep on learning every other day.
Yeah.
Like now you find more restaurants, especially the 5-star and the hotels are doing potato on skin,
yes,
instead of doing the peeling.
Yeah.
So the preferences of people have really changed over,
yeah,
time.
And even the mash.
Yes, the mash, yeah, potatoes.
The Ivios.
Yes.
All those, yeah, the traditional ones.
I look forward to the day we'll have 100% utilization of potato.
Okay.
It can do so much. You have potato starch, you have potato flour.
Yes.
Because as we do the processing, we'll actually lose between 15% to 20%. So from the whole potato to the, yes, end product, there's also a bit of wastage.
Yeah.
It's also very good for organic fertilizer.
Yes.
And a joke I always make, Russia is known for the best potato vodka. So.
Oh, really? Yes. I've never heard of that.
Yeah. So one day, yeah, maybe I always say I'll be the first African to do the potato vodka, which is also good.
Wow.
Because you increase the value for the farmer.
Yes, yes.
And you reduce much of the post-harvest.
Post-harvest,
yeah,
really.
Losses.
Wow, I think that's amazing. And seeing that that sector is so important, and we're in an era where we are seeing challenges emerging from climate change. You're working with farmers.
Yes.
Maybe you tell us, how many farmers are you working with, from how many counties, and what are some of the challenges they are facing?
Going back to 2022, yeah, you know, things became a bit tough for me.
Yes.
And how I started the business, first, I didn't know how important it is to engage the farmers.
Yeah.
Then you're buying from brokers and all that. Then 2022, I realized the business can't break through with working with the brokers.
Yes.
We just need to go to the farmers. Then the potato quality they are bringing is what they bring to the market, but that's not exactly what we need. We have, yeah, a specific quality of potato that is good for chips.
Mm.
So we had to now think through on what farmer programs can we do to, yes, engage the farmers. One thing, farmers, they are farming just for the sake of farming, but if they farmed with knowledge and understanding the market, then, yeah, they will have better yield.
Yes.
For a case example, in Kenya we have over 60 varieties of potatoes.
Really? 60?
But how many do, like, if I ask you, how, yeah, many varieties do you know?
Probably 4 or 5.
Yes, yeah. And you're lucky. There are people who think a potato is just a potato.
Ah.
They don't know the difference. And that's, yes, why when you buy potatoes in the market, you come home, they are like, you keep cooking chips. They are not, cooking very well.
Yes.
You make a mash, the potatoes are not mashing very well, because every variety has its needs because,
yes,
of the composition. Mm. You'll never find me with the people who do crisps. That's like, yes, the tropical heat, the Noda. You won't find us in the same farmers. Then they go to a region like Bomet, where they grow,
yes,
a variety called Dutch Robin, which is good for crisps.
Yeah.
For us, we use 4 varieties. We have Shangi, which is commonly known in Kenya.
Yes.
We have Unica, Manitou, Marquis, and the other varieties coming up like Challenger, Sherekea, Wanjiko.
Oh.
All those potatoes are coming in. And one of the things from some discussions, I've been involved in discussions in the value chain with the key players in the sector, like National Potato Council,
yeah,
organizes meetings for all the players to meet. We want to encourage more varieties to be processed or to be produced, more seed varieties,
mm-hmm,
and to serve different needs. Then that way, we're able even to stabilize the prices, because the potato you find in the market, we won't be fighting with it, because this is a table potato, what you use on a normal stews and mash,
yes,
and all that. Then we'll focus on the chips or the processed potatoes. Then the people doing the crisps,
yes,
will focus on that. So we embarked on a journey of recruiting our farmers.
Yes.
And doing something called contract farming.
Mm.
But as we do contract farming, what we want to tell the farmers is, this is the product. We have gone to places like Nakuru, Olengurun, Kuresoi, and many other parts of the country, as far as West Pokot, which is a potato growing region, Narok, Meru. But what we realize, when you take our end product, they really don't know this is what we process. They just,
yes,
know these are the processors of potatoes. They even don't know where you sell. So you have to explain to them, these clients, this is what they consume. If you've been to Nairobi or the restaurants, let's say in Nakuru, you have the Javas, the KFCs, this is what they need. So you start from that knowledge point for them to understand the market.
Yeah.
Then some of the practices, as my mother used to be an agriculture extension officer back in the days. And she told me when she was in college, the last thesis, the paper they were doing, they were told, will Kenya be able to feed 30 million people by the year 2000?
Yes.
And what that makes me think, the issues of climate started many years ago. That was like in 1979.
Wow.
And these are discussions you're still having, going on. Yeah. She's been a farmer over years. And she also makes comments. Back in the days, we used to make good yields and money. But nowadays, you strive farming, but the output is not the same. So you can't do the same thing you've always done over the years and expect the same results. So one of the things we encourage is understanding our soils. This starts with soil testing, which is very, very important. Most of our soils have been depleted. We have been pumped so many chemicals. People don't understand even the issues of crop rotation, where they are very important. Mm. So let's start from that.
Yes.
So that's one of the things we encourage, because if you understand your soil, it informs every other decision you make. The other thing is the use of certified seeds.
Yes.
People are used to, you borrow your neighbor seeds from I don't know how many seasons. So use of certified seeds is very critical.
Mm.
And buying them from people who have been certified to do them. We have companies like Calro, which is good. We have Fresh Crop. We have Agrico, who sells the seeds, Kisima.
Mm.
People who have really invested their time research to give you a clean seed.
Mm.
A clean seed is very important. And you've had instances where you had a bad seed and you say, I bought new seeds, but then the output is bad. Potatoes are even infested. They didn't get to the right size.
Yes.
So the other issue is certified seeds.
Mm.
Then understanding the proper farming practices.
Yeah.
Like we have a limitation of rains.
Mm.
So when you have the limitation of rains, like now this season, we have rains for this week, which maybe we didn't expect. We expected the rains to come in from around April. But then what do you do with the little rain that you have? How do you do your mulching? How do you do your spacing? So we have to go back to the basics of teaching farmers new methods. We are very lucky to have technology.
Yeah.
Encourage people to go and read through.
Read.
There are people who will see on, let's say, YouTube, a very good and prominent potato farmer. Why not go and read? What are they doing? Go for ASK show. And it's so amazing the things you get to learn.
Yeah.
Understand what are crops that needs rotation with the with the potatoes and why. Then people also need to understand, like in the top urban, Nakuru being an example of it, people have farmed for so long. So they have depleted their soils. What do you need? Do you need to even to allow your soils to rest? You need to.
How long would you allow the soil to rest?
There are people who say you can allow even your farm to rest for even a year. Even 3 years.
Like the Jubilee, they say 50 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the same reason you find the new places like Narok and West Pokot, there's a lot of virgin land, and that's why many people have gone to those farmings. So the output is very good. So what do we do to our farms to improve the nutrition of our soils? Then let's not also over chemicalize our soils.
There's
organic farming, and people still getting output. Last year, we went into a study of black soldier fly farming, which gives us a very good organic manure, which is very good at improving the soil pH. Can you understand the science behind it?
So how do you use it?
The black soldier flies, of course, you develop them. They have the worms that come out from it also. They lay the eggs, you nurture the worms, they come out. Then they are dried. Then they are, we grind them.
You grind.
Yes. Then you leave them, you continue introducing them to soil so that all that soil that you've introduced the worms to, as it decomposes, is good, very good organic
fertilizer.
And you see, it also cuts down your costs. We're having issues of fertilizer being so expensive. So, so generally, those are some of the things. Then the other critical thing is we want farmers to take farming as any other business, an agri-business. If you go to Google, a typical farmer is shown like a like an old woman, rugged, hungry. But if you go to Europe, the farmers there are even driving the big cars.
Yeah.
Because we need to take farming as any other office you report to every other day. So one of the things we encourage is also financial literacy among our farmers. Learn how to do a documentation. The dairy had a very good start on that. You know how people used to document everything. They used to go even to the place they take the milk. That's where they take the feeds and all that. And they have a booklet they will document. Can we go back to that documentation? It helps you understand the cost.
Okay.
The cost of tilling your land. So you plan for it. Then all these also financial documentation, they help you also be bankable. And that's how you're able even to get resources. Because farming, good farming is not cheap. Let's not lie to each other. But if you put the right investments, the return are good. On average, an acre takes between 100 to 110,000 Kenyan shilling to farm. If you do everything, get the seeds, the inputs, maybe your leasing equipment and all that, the labor calculated, that's an estimate you've done. And if you sell even the bare minimum of 30 shillings a kilo, you're likely to get, and the output is around 8 tons, which has increased because most farmers, smallholder farmers, Anika is giving them 3 to 4.
Yeah.
But we want to increase the yield. The work is the same. Yeah. So what about increasing the yield? So if you increase the yield to 8 tons and you sell at the bare minimum of 30 shillings, when we have so many potatoes in the market, you get 240.
Okay.
Minus the 110, you have good profits within 3 months.
Okay.
But still, like this season, you're buying 50 shillings a kilo. So you are able to increase the value that you get.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is what you're saying is part of the climate smart interventions you're undertaking to address the issues they're facing.
Yes, because, you know, when you think about climate, also it comes with the rains. We have high droughts.
Yes.
And all these have repercussions on all our natural resources.
Yes.
So the idea is, how do we maximize when we have the little that we have? What do we take care? How do we take care of the little natural resources we have left with so that we increase our output? And just to add on that, the other thing is when you're cutting, we have done a sign up of over 3,000 farmers.
Yes.
Our goal is by 2027 to sign up 10,000 farmers.
Okay.
And how many do you have in Nakuru? About how many?
I would go about 1,000 to 1,500 are from Nakuru.
Oh.
Yeah. And also the reason we love Nakuru County as our sourcing hub, the proximity of their farms to the main roads is also very good. So those are things they should take advantage of.
Oh.
Unlike some of the places where the roads are bad, it takes like almost 3 days to even fill up a truck and to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Nakuru, if you fill up a truck by 8:39, it will be in my factory.
Oh, yeah.
So it's one of the best places when you get farmers there, we really focus on.
So
it cuts down even our transport
cost.
Yeah. And the reason you'll ask why that huge number, only like a 10% will serve us. So the higher you increase the numbers, the more pool of farmers.
At every given time, some do not have.
Yes, because some, the yield will be bad.
Yes.
Some won't farm for one reason or another.
Yeah.
Some will side sell. How to be safe is to keep increasing that number.
So, okay. To minimize your own risks.
Yeah. So we have a line, a number which is for farmers dedicated because people have gotten to know us and they want to look for markets. So every time a farmer calls, we receive the call, we want to get the data. Where are you located? What's the acreage of your farm? When do you plan on planting? What variety are you planting? Have you done this before? Are you trying again? And we categorize our farmers in terms of 0 to 3 acres, 3 to 5, 5 to 10. Then you have above 10.
Yeah.
Then you also do another categorization of rain fed and irrigation.
Irrigation fed.
Rain fed is what everyone else is doing now.
Oh.
So some of the smart practices you can do and to get a better yield, do you have an irrigation system?
Yes.
Are you able to collect the water that you have? And are you able to serve us when you have drought? The season of January to May is usually a tough season, though this year is totally different.
Yeah.
And these are the issues we are talking about.
Yeah.
Climate. Last year, we had a very dry season of January to February to May. Then bad rains came that destroyed much of the crops.
Yeah.
So it's also, we are learning. So if a lot of rains come, what do you do? your potato are likely to get spoiled and all that. What buffer do you have?
Yes.
Part of also our financial literacy was to tell people there's also crop insurance, which is being given by some of our local banks.
Okay.
Does it also safeguard you against climate effects or, you know, things might change?
Yeah.
So if you are an irrigation, actually we hold dearly.
Yes.
Irrigation farmers, I'm sorry to say so, because they're the ones who will serve us very well.
Throughout all seasons.
Throughout all seasons.
Yeah.
And most of them who have now gotten the, you know, gotten the drift of it, you'll find they won't plant when everyone is planting. They will plant at a different season.
Wow.
Yeah.
You talked about a close affiliation with the farmers practicing irrigation.
Mm-hmm.
And we know Kenya is a very water scarce. Water is a big climate issue. How are they managing in terms of irrigation? What are some of their water sources and how is it playing out with climate issues?
There's a lot of, and I think even our government somehow is also trying to assist farmers, where you find there's a lot of boreholes being dug coming up.
And they are
to be shared within a certain community area. What makes it a bit expensive sometimes is the pumping, you know, the daily pumping to irrigate your crops.
Yeah.
Because you can be brought water near you, but then you need to move it around your land.
Yeah.
Mostly you'll have to use power, which is very expensive, diesel and all that. So that's why there are gadgets that have come into the market, the solar powered gadgets that are very good for irrigation.
Mm.
Then a lot of encouraging on collecting water. Now, the rainy season is here.
Yes.
You'll find nowadays, I don't think people put gutters on their houses as we used to do back in the days.
Yes.
And I think back in the days when the rain starts, even your mother will tell you to go put a drum somewhere to collect
somewhere,
water.
Yes.
So, are we collecting enough water?
Mm.
And as much as we say the government is not doing our part, everything starts from us.
Yeah.
In our own little way and our own spaces, what can we do? So we really encourage harvesting rainy water. You found, and that is actually even much in Nakuru, and I know Meru, they are doing much of that.
Harvesting.
People are harvesting, they dig up the ponds where they can collect that water.
Oh, okay.
There are small dams, which is very good.
Mm.
Yeah, then because you can't all be near lakes or rivers.
Yeah.
But if you're next to a lake, like I know a farm in Naivasha, which is also within Nakuru County, they do they pump from the river.
Oh, they pump from the river.
If you are near such, think of how do we also utilize all this water. Then when you talk about irrigation, we have people who are doing solar powered irrigation.
Yes.
And one of the things we do as we do these projects, and I'll give an example. The project we did between 2023 and 2024 was called Mavuno Zaidi.
Yeah.
It was a funded project, and we went in many companies to support our farmers. We had Syngenta East Africa.
Yeah.
Who are they? Had agronomists, they gave agronomy support and the inputs. We had people like CropNut who are doing soil testing. Equity Foundation was training a lot on being bankable and financial literacy and also crop insurance.
Mm.
We had companies like Fresh Crop in Nakuru who do seedlings, certified seeds. Then I was there as the off-taker.
Yes.
Because when you go to a farmer, go as one unit, then the farmer is not scattered looking for things. Because sometimes also you encourage them to increase the yield, then they ask you, so after we increase the yield, where is the market?
So how were these resources mobilized?
It was a funded project from an organization in the Netherlands.
Yes.
But every time we called a meeting, we'll all go together. So we and I know we did one in this area, Bahati Nakuru.
Yes.
So you get to meet the cooperatives around, and they bring farmers. The dairy cooperatives are very strong, but over time now people are shifting. The same dairy can do potatoes, so it's easier to get them. So you go, you call, you set a meeting with the cooperative officials, and they invite all the farmers, and of course with the support of the county, they give us good support. Then you just take them through this training.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are there any other climate smart initiatives?
Of course, we have there's a company called AgriTech Analytics.
Yes.
They do, they install some gadgets that are able to read more information about your soil, the moisture and all that. This guides you. So this is part of the technology. There are solar powered gadgets that are able to read the details of your soils. And we encourage also the farmers, because even as you decide, yes, I want to irrigate, we haven't had good rains, it's able to guide you even the moisture content of your soil.
It's able.
Yes, if the potatoes are under, if there's too much moisture, too much water, what do you need to do about it? So those are technologies that are coming up, and we encourage them.
Is it affordable for farmers to engage them?
Yes, it's affordable because they have a billing model where it's actually a lease model. So for a season that you're planting, so you're able to
Give you the gadget.
Yes, the gadget. So you're able to trap it, and it's attached to your smartphone. So you're able to get all the details about your soil and everything that in. So it guides you. Even if, let's say, you have a disease that is creeping in, it's easier now to detect it and act on it very fast.
Very fast.
You know, potatoes, sometimes you're able to know the potato is infested when it was already harvested in our factory. When you're processing,
you see this green
plots. But even inside, when you cut, that's when you're finding a lot of infestation. The other thing, also, there are technologies that have come just to get data of as many farmers as possible. Where you as a farmer input all your data there. The technology connects you to the markets and any other player that will give you support. So these are technologies that are also being helpful to the farmer. And we really encourage them. For us, at the end of the day, for me, is to a happy farmer. A farmer that gets the output, they get their pay, they're able to continue serving you very well.
Have you encountered the older farmers with some traditional knowledge? And how is it playing out? Are you seeing farmers merging traditional knowledge and modern knowledge?
I'll approach it this way. The average Kenyan farmer is 65 years old.
He's 65. Yes.
But the majority of consumers are below 30.
Yeah.
Who consume
the potato.
Yes. And when you go for those farmer engagement programs, I actually feel sad because there are so many old people than young people.
In the potato farming.
Yes. Yeah. They're also same old, more men than women. Yes, so there is a gap that needs to be worked on.
Oh, the age.
Yes,
they are 65 years.
But the old is because this is farming is everything they have known.
Yeah.
I bet even your parents or your relatives back in the village, that's everything they have known to do.
Yeah.
But now there are those that are open to new ways and ideas of improving the output that they get from the farms. The other thing, we also need to go back to our roots.
Yeah.
There are things and practices that we did back then that can work now.
Yeah.
But because technology and westernization has come and everything has been changed. Do you know, in terms of literature, the literature, African literature, like even on how we used to do our farming, how our parents used to eat and all that, they say overall of all literature available, it's only 1.4% that is from Africa.
Yeah.
What this means is we even need to go back to our roots and see what made our parents have better yield.
Yeah.
We had things that are indigenous. We had practices they would do that, even of preserving water, that worked very well. I believe there's a gap there and we need to bridge, not necessarily ignore, because we have a bit of ignoring and saying we have to modernize everything. When you talk of climate smart, it's like what it means is basically adopting modern ways, but there are old ways that really worked. AFA, they are really emphasizing on adaptation of, they say, the underutilized crops. For example, we have things like gooseberries. We used to see them growing on the road.
On the road,
But now there are so many uses of gooseberries. Why can't we plant? And there are reasons they used to grow in certain areas, and that's not certain areas. Why can't we now commercialize on that?
Commercialize it.
Even our potatoes, as much as we're seeing, buy certified seeds.
Yeah.
There's a way you can still take care of yourself.
Yeah.
You take care of your seed and you keep it for 2 or 3 seasons.
Yes.
There are also ways you can teach people how to breed their own seeds and they will do it. So we need to bridge that gap.
Mm-hmm.
But that's having said, also the youth need to be more engaged in this. We have the advantage of information than any other, you know, any other generation.
Yeah.
So what are we doing with all this knowledge?
Okay, and that wraps up our first insightful episode of this two-part series with the inspiring Wanjiru Mambo. Join me, Maslin Nyambala, next time for the conclusion. It's been a pleasure hosting you.
Thank you for listening to the Africa Speaking Podcast. Join us in our next episode brought to you by Twiza Communications in partnership with Forum Sieve. For any comments and views, you can reach us through our website, www.africaspeaking.org. You can also reach us on Facebook, Twiza Communications, or on our X handle, @twizacoms. You can also write to us on email, info@africaspeaking.org.